Good morning. It's time for another edition of Fry Bread Journeys and your host, Chris Crane.
OCO, good morning, James. So we always start out every episode and we thank Stanjati for allowing us to use his song Greasy Fry Bread as our opener. And we always like to open with thanking our show sponsors, Native American Fellowship Incorporated, the Cooperative Credit Union here in Coffeyville, Smilin' Charlie Crane, and Cherokee Nation. And we're not doing days in history. I missed it. We had one episode in May. I had jury duty, so we weren't able to. But we have a special guest today. It's Jen Lauren, and she is the senior director of Cherokee Films and the host of OCO TV.
Fiona God.
We're so happy you're here. So I think I met you when I first met you. Probably it was maybe 3 years ago. I met you at the Will Rogers Birthplace Ranch, and that was when they were signing over, the Oklahoma signed it over to
the Cherokee Nation.
And I was wearing an OCO TV shirt too at the time that I had gotten.
Yay,
so
we love
she immediately
that.
Saw me and was like, oh, okay. But I'm so excited you're here today. Why don't you just start out and you can give some background on yourself? We want to know, if you don't already know, Jen, if you haven't watched OCO television or anything, you need to. Tell us a little bit about it and how everything has started and how it kind of segued in here to film.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Also, I can't believe it's been 3 years since that Will Rogers event. Time flies. I'm a Cherokee Nation citizen. I was a journalist. I was a television news anchor and investigative reporter based in Tulsa. And about 11 years ago, Cherokee Nation reached out to me and said, you know, we want to start telling our own story, you know, and we would like for you to help us do that. So I left television news and came over to do essentially a startup at Cherokee Nation. And so we decided we would start by creating the docuseries, OCO Voices of the Cherokee People. And we chose to do it that way because we really wanted to allow Cherokee people to tell their own stories using their own voices. So that's why we chose to do it documentary style. That we created that show from scratch. So a 30-minute program that has three, what we call features, which is, you know, basically a bio documentary on a Cherokee Nation citizen who's doing something amazing. And that could be, you know, an elder. It could be a first language Cherokee speaker. It could be a young Cherokee, you know, an athlete. It can just anybody that's Cherokee that's doing something that is really intriguing and that we want to show people. So we have three of those in there, and then we have a Cherokee Almanac, which tells history, Cherokee history from the Cherokee perspective. And so we made sure we find historians and academics who have expertise in the area mm-hmm. that we're talking about. And so we've also included a language lesson in those. And so that was how we kind of started the show, those 30-minute episodes, and then it's evolved over time.
And how long it's been on for? How many years now?
We are in our 11th season. So our first broadcast was in 2015.
This is amazing. And I was telling you beforehand, I used to be with the Coffeyville Historical Society, and we moved the Dalton Defenders Museum. And one of the things, there's a Native American room. And I contacted you, and you guys graciously donated a flat screen TV. And it was like the first five or six seasons of OCO television. And it's on a continuous loop.
Yeah,
they're at the museum.
That. When we first started the show, a lot of people would say, well, what's your demographic? Who are you trying to reach? And we were everybody, whoever we can.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and the point of the show, is really to change people's perspectives, because there are a lot of misconceptions, as you know, about who Cherokee people are. And so that was the whole impetus of the show, is to tell our own stories and to really create an accurate image and portrayal of Cherokee people for the general public. And so that is, you know, first and foremost, our show is really to create an archive and a point of pride for our own people, to be able to see ourselves represented in mainstream media, but also to educate the public, you know, other tribes, and then people who have no affiliation with Cherokee Nation or any tribes whatsoever, and to kind of change their frame of mind about, you know, how they see Native Americans. You know, studies have shown in the greater United States, a lot of people don't even realize that tribes still exist. I think that's changed over the last several years, but we're part of that movement. Is really
a big part of it, honestly. I mean, and and it's an inspiration. I mean, when we started this little, and this is just a little show, we do reach quite a few people, but, and we're gaining all the time. We've been on the air for 3.5 years now. And I thank Cherokee Nation, especially for allowing us and giving me the opportunity to contact and meet people like you and your willingness to come on the show. But it gets more stuff. There's a lot of at-large.
Yeah.
I think just within South Coffeyville, there are almost 15,000 at-large Cherokee citizens.
Wow.
So...
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot. So we want to, and then we know other tribes. We've had people call in from the other tribes that are around here too. So we appreciate you.
And
But the show was wonderful. And if you've never watched it, I think I was telling you, I watched the episode Saturday on now, but I will ask this first. Let me back up. Cherokee, wherever we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different.
That's a second show.
Yes.
Yes. And that's what we call kind of our talk show, Chalagi, wherever we are. And so while OCO Voices of the Cherokee People, which we lovingly call OCO TV, some people just call it OCO, that is broadcast on our website, OCO.TV, also on our YouTube page. But it's broadcast on public television stations. So OETA, RSU-TV here in Oklahoma, APTN in Arkansas, but then it's also available nationwide through any PBS station that wants to program it can program it. So we are on, OCO-TV can be seen in Alaska and California and Arizona and North Carolina. Yeah. So, but Chalagi, wherever we are, is a talk show for the Cherokee Nation where we essentially once a month we tackle a different Cherokee topic and we interview people with expertise in that area and we just talk through whatever the topic is.
And this last Saturday it was about community and cultural outreach program and at-large communities, and it was the Kansas City group was featured on this, and it holds a place near and dear because that is NAFI's sister community. I was telling Jen that. So it was really neat because you start out and you kind of give a little, you know, agenda of what's going to happen, and we get to hear from Chief, and then you actually are having an interview with Chief, and then I think this one was Deputy Chief Warner with Melissa McKee. It was a great episode, and I believe Chance
Condit
was on there also, and he's out with Savannah, and it's what I like. It's people you know too, and it's very comfortable. It's very, very informative.
I love that about it too. And I feel like, you know, as many Cherokee Nation citizens as we have, we do still feel like a small community and a family. And I feel like the people that we have on our show, Chalagi, wherever we are, a lot of times are, you know, people who are here in the Cherokee Nation community and kind of helping to, you know, bring their expertise and knowledge about whatever the topic is to other people who aren't here.
Yeah.
And so I hope that Cherokee citizens who do live at large, that live in whatever state, are tuning into the show and getting to have a chance to feel that same sense of community and that kind of like family-oriented feel that we're trying to create through this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we're only like 9, 10 minutes into this. I think we have to take one commercial break. And then we're done. But we only have a 30-minute show, so I would like to get the commercial break out of the way, if that's okay with you, James.
That's fine.
And then we come back and we can hear more, and I want to hear about Cherokee film.
Great.
All right, that's all coming up as Frybread Journeys continues.
Hello, Calvin Wright, Beef Industry News, and coming up, some details on the upcoming Midwest Meat Summit.
Ice cream. All the ice cream in my house, in the world, and most of my stuffed animals.
My video games and, my phone.
What would you give for your freedom? Would you give your eyesight? Would you give ever seeing the sunset again? Would you give the ability to see your children's future? Thousands of brave men and women who served in the United States Armed Forces have given their eyesight in defense of our freedom. And the Blinded Veterans Association wants to give them their freedom back, but it needs your help. Go to BVA.org to find out about how BVA's free programs and services, advocacy, education, peer support, scholarships and more help America's heroes to not just deal with the emotional and physical issues of sudden sight loss or impairment, but actually work to get them back to the independent lives they deserve to live. Go to BVA.org to find out how you can make a difference. They fought for your independence, and by going to BVA.org, you can find out how to help these veterans regain theirs. Go to BVA.org today.
All members of the meat supply chain are invited to attend the Practical Farmers of Iowa's second annual Midwest Meat Summit. set for June 17th and 18th in Ankeny, Iowa. Amos Johnson is education coordinator.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a bus tour that'll bring folks to a couple of local farms that are focusing on cattle and sheep, and they'll show some of the production side of things and the business and marketing aspects that they think about. And then there'll also be a processor tour included as well.
Says the second day will feature educational sessions and networking opportunities. For more information or to register, visit MidwestMeatSummit.com.
Do you want to know why? Us at Brown Shoe Fit Coffeeville have the best selection of work boots in the area. We carry quality brands like Brunt, Ariok, Thorogood, Red Wing, Irish Setter, and so much more at Brown Shoe Fit Coffeeville.
Isolated showers and storms are possible through this morning across far northeast Oklahoma and southeast Kansas. Very hot and humid again today with temperatures near 90 by lunchtime and highs up to 95. Afternoon heat index values near 100. Be careful in the heat and before you walk away, check the back seat. Never leave a child or a pet in the car. A few storms are possible this evening and tonight. Warm and muggy again tomorrow with highs near 90. A few isolated storms are possible tomorrow during the day. Off and on rain chances this week, increasing this weekend. From the Bob Mills Weather Center, I'm News on 6 Meteorologist Station 9.
It's Military Appreciation Month at Roman Chevrolet with deals on select Chevrolet vehicles, including the 2026 Chevy Silverado for eligible military personnel. Go to RomanChevrolet.com to see the new and pre-owned inventory.
Back here at 9:20, Fry Bread Journeys continues with special guest Jen Lauren and your host, Chris Green.
So, you've kind of explained about OCO TV and Jalagi, wherever we are. So now let's talk about Cherokee Film.
Yeah. So Cherokee Film has really grown a lot over the last 5 years. And, essentially Cherokee Film is kind of the umbrella name or organization for, we have four branches underneath it. And each branch has a specific purpose. With the goal of it is to essentially, what we say is we're innovating narrative sovereignty. Okay. So, you know, when I started working for the nation and started trying to tell our story, you know, leadership would say, you know, how can we expand? How can we do more? How can we get more Cherokee stories into more mainstream media? And so I put on my investigative journalist hat and kind of went and said, how does the business of film and television work, you know, on the back end, on the business side? And I figured out that essentially you have a lot of gatekeepers who will say what can and can't make it into the mainstream through streaming, through theaters, through television. And so What I learned was that in their eyes, Cherokee stories, Native American stories, most times are just too niche. They're not mainstream enough for a broad audience to really want to see them and spend money to go see them at the box office to make money, when that is the ultimate goal of any of the film industry. It's a money-making endeavor. And so we essentially said, you know, what we can do is if we have the leadership support and the willingness to move forward with this is to create our own industry. You know, we proved through OCO TV that we can tell our stories, hire our own people to tell those stories. So we're creating jobs and, you know, we're having an impact. And so we really wanted to say, let's expand that. So we created Cherokee Film, which is essentially Cherokee Film Productions, which is our production company, which produces things like OCO TV, Chalagi, wherever we are. We have animations that we create, a whole host of things. And then the second branch is the Cherokee Film Commission. And so the Film Commission is the branch that essentially brings the film and television industry from outside the Cherokee Nation into the Cherokee Nation Reservation to film here. So they spend money here. They give our people jobs. And it gives the people who work on those productions repetitions. And so they learn how to be on a film set. They learn how to be on a TV set.
Okay.
And so that's why we had that $1 million rebate that we run through the commission is to entice those productions to come to the reservation, spend their dollars here, and hire our people. So once you have those people getting those reps, then we built our studios. So now we have the infrastructure to tell whatever story we want, however we want. And then the final fourth branch of the Cherokee Film ecosystem is Cherokee Film Institute. And so that's workforce development. So we're teaching people how to get into the film industry, to learn the basics, and So they can function on a film set. And so you add all those together, and essentially what we're doing is we're building our own film ecosystem so that there's no gatekeeper who can tell us no. We can create whatever production we want, whatever Cherokee or Native American story that we want. We have the facilities to do it. We have the people to do it. And we have the knowledge and ability to do it.
And you say this has been like for the last 5 years?
Well, the idea started, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But yes, we really, since Chief Hoskin took office, we've really had the leadership buy-in and push to...
I was going to say that just coincides with Chief Hoskin because and we're so appreciative of him, but you can see how much stuff under the Hoskin-Warner administration, things have really expanded.
Yes, he's a very big supporter.
And gone for it, pushed forward.
Absolutely.
So when you were saying the thing about the animation, so did Cherokee Film have anything to do with they did that? How to Train Your Dragon in Cherokee?
So yes and no. So we actually, Cherokee Film was paired with the Cherokee Nation Language Department.
Okay.
And so we created, and this was before How to Train Your Dragon, and we created a partnership with Amazon MGM, and they gave us access to their entire library of original content to dub in the Cherokee language. And so then we were like, well, we have to figure out how to do this.
Oh, my
goodness. Cherokee Film and the Language Department got some voice acting coaches. We did voice acting workshops with Cherokee Nation first and second language speakers, so teaching them how to do voice acting. We built two recording studios, one in the Durban Feeling Language Center and one in our studios in Owosso. And then we partnered with some production companies in Los Angeles to teach our people how to actually do the process of
this
dubbing.
This is amazing.
And so, thank you. So we did that for Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
Really?
We are currently dubbing season one of that. And then the same people that we've been working on that for a couple of years now. And then the same people that learned how to do all of that for Rings of Power are the ones who were able to step in and quickly do How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh my gosh.
For the language
because
department.
That was a big deal. There was I think they showed it at a drive-in or somewhere. I want to say somebody, there was a big like premiere of it showing.
Yes. I don't know if it was a drive-in, but there was definitely a premiere in Tahlequah at a theater. Yes. Yeah.
I think it's amazing. And you don't really, when you're explaining everything, it's like, oh my gosh, there was so much that went into this.
Yes. There's
a
lot.
It isn't like snap your fingers type thing.
But now we have it. And so now we can keep doing it,
Well, it gives you appreciation of how much work goes into a movie, in general. And I mean, it's just awesome. I happened to be driving by and I saw the studios. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is really cool that you have this. So what a great, resource here in Northeast Oklahoma within the Cherokee Nation to have. And, I'm sure, being able to employ some of those, young people who are maybe interested in a movie career, to be able to have this right here. You don't necessarily have to go all the way to the West Coast.
You don't. And, and it can start, a lot of people ask us over and over, like my daughter, my granddaughter, my nephew, they really are interested in movies, but like they live in whatever town. How can they do this? Well, they actually can. And that's one of the reasons we created the Cherokee Film Institute is it's a first step. You just have to be 18 years old and you can apply and you can go to Cherokee Film Institute.
And
that's where you get your foot in the door. You meet other like-minded people, you create a little community. And then we have people who've gone through the Institute who are now working on all the different movies and TV shows that are filming in Tulsa.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
So can you tell us some of the shows that, or things that, projects that you guys have been working on?
For Cherokee Film?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're always working on OCO TV. It's like, it's a continuous process. But we're working on our first feature length documentary right now, which is about the Cherokee Freedmen and the history of the Cherokee Freedmen and the tribe's efforts for reconciliation. So we're in post-production on that. We have finished filming that and we're editing. We're in the editing suites right now. And then we are working on some really exciting animation projects with the language department. So I can't say too much about that.
I understand.
It hasn't been announced, but it's very exciting.
You draw in the youth that way and the adults. I mean, animation, a lot of the anime type things, those are very popular with young adults. So this is a great way of doing all this.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
We've always got something going on. Hopefully we'll continue dubbing things in the Cherokee language and be pushing those out. So.
Well, I told you I was going to ask you this, and I've given you some time to think about this. Can you give me, I'm not going to say one, can you give me a couple of favorite episodes of, it might be of OCO but something that you stand out in your mind that you particularly enjoyed.
Yes. I will say probably my very favorite production thus far is the Cherokee Freedmen documentary. It's going to be something really special. I can't wait for everybody to see it. But of those productions that have aired already, I will go back to in the very first season of OCO TV, we did the Remember the Removal bike ride where we spent, 20 days with the bike riders. We got to go through our homelands with them and watch them discover all of that. And that was just something that was really special. And to be able to bring that to our viewers, I think it still sticks out as one of my favorite
productions. And that's
what's
going on right now. They just left, didn't they?
Yeah.
And that's pretty, I talked about last year because Cameron Fight James was on that.
Yes.
And we were, it was very exciting, but it's gotta be kind of emotional too, go and be a witness to more modern day. You're revisiting the past, but I don't know. I just think that's exciting.
It is, and it is emotional. I mean, if you're Cherokee and you're there, I mean, there's, you can't get away from the emotion of it.
But it's an honor.
It is, absolutely.
It is an honor to be there and to be witnessing all this kind of stuff. So I have some announcements before we end the show today. I do want to know that this Saturday we have another opportunity for folks to qualify at the Cherokee Nation Traditional Games Finals. It's going to be in Veneta at the new archery range that Cherokee Nation built. I tried qualifying over at Oshaleta a couple of weeks ago, and I was in a four-way tie for third, sudden death, and lost out. So I'm going.
Sorry.
But they're still this Saturday. But the other thing I do want to give a shout out, those who supervise those events from Cherokee Nation, Jesse Grayson does the corn stalk shoot and the tomahawk, for example, and he's wonderful. And one of the things that was really kind of cool in the last one is Fry Bread Factory out of Tahlequah. They have their food truck, and I think they have a contract with Cherokee Nation to provide the meal ticket things. And I had a Fry Bread Journey shirt on, and I went up there, and I wasn't thinking about what I was wearing, and this guy turned around and said, "Where'd you get that?" And I was like, what? And he goes, "Your shirt." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So shout out to Fry Bread Factory. They want one of the shirts.
The best fry bread.
Oh my gosh. It. Yes. And it is enormous. I was telling her, yes, I would love to make fry bread on the show, but it has to be
piping. I think we could do that. We need to do it. Can have a hot plate in here.
I don't think we were talking about this, and I don't think it's going to work because you'll never get that grease smell out of here.
Well, we've done it in the kitchen. We can just have a mic cord and you go over in there and do it.
Oh, so my much God. Pressure.
Yeah. Oh, this is. It's a lot.
We'll do it.
It's a lot.
We got to do it.
Anyway, we hope to see everybody Saturday at Veneta. And I will also mention that Cherokee elders who meet the income requirements can access through the Gadoogie portal the application for the Senior Farmers Market benefit. And you fill out the application and submit. If approved, you'll receive a $100 gift card that can be used at select farmers markets, and the deadline to apply is September 30th. I believe that was something that was announced. I was telling you with the Hawea Plus, and I think they're going to do something where they add a one-time $30 for meat onto this too.
Wow.
Smile and Charlie, if you didn't know, that is my husband, who is one of our sponsors. I don't call him that at home. I call him a lot of other things. he's donated our item for the June giveaway. It is a nice fleece blanket with the Fry Bread Journey logo imprinted on it. And you need to follow our page on Facebook, like the post of Charlie holding the blanket, and comment with a big OCO in honor of today's guest. And in the comments. And then we're going to have a third episode of Fry Bread Journey this month to make up for missing the one in May. We will announce the winner on that last episode. And we want to recognize our show sponsors, Native American Fellowship Incorporated, which is a community organization located in South Coffeyville serving the surrounding area. The Cooperative Credit Union, located at 313 West 9th Street here in Coffeyville. CCU staff is always ready to assist you with all of your banking needs because CCU is where
you
belong. Smile and Charlie Crane, who provides us with giveaway items and some good food to try. I think he sent a loaf of banana nut bread for
you.
Very
excited about it. Thank you.
And finally, Cherokee Nation. Cherokee Nation is the largest federally recognized tribe in the United States with almost 500,000 members. They are committed to protecting Cherokee sovereignty, the promotion and preservation of the Cherokee culture, and the improvement of the quality of life for the next seven generations. Wado to all of our sponsors. But I want to end the show again. We've got a little bit of time here. Thank you. But is there anything else you'd like to get out about Cherokee Nation, Cherokee Film, anything?
I mean, I think if given the chance, I'm always happy to say that I'm very grateful to have the ability to do this.
Yes.
You know, I just came from an NCAI media training in Phoenix where I was talking to tribal leaders about what we do at Cherokee Film. And, you know, not every tribe has leaders that, you know, see such value in and what we do. And so it's very... I'm just grateful to be able to do what we do.
I will ask you this. Do you see, like you said, not every tribe has the ability and the leadership that we do, but do you see any other tribes coming forward to try
Absolutely.
And do this and to you know, do something?
More and more tribes. Nature? Yes. I mean, the Chickasaw Nation has always done things and the Choctaw Nation is doing some things. Seminoles, Florida Seminoles. There's a lot of tribes out in California that have their own sort of smaller version, you know, where they're creating their own productions. Yeah.
This is just all neat. Do you have any other questions,
Well,
James?
I did want to, just for maybe the folks just tuning in, is there a place we can go to maybe find schedules and links to watch and everything?
Yes. So I will direct everyone to our website, which is Cherokee.film. And from there, you can find any information that you need. But if you're interested in figuring out where to view OCO TV, you can go to our website, OCO.TV, and you can see where all of our schedules are.
That's pretty good. Pretty darn. I'm just excited about this. So I do want to thank you again. We appreciate everything you do for Cherokee Nation, and we've sent you a loaf of banana nut bread. We've given you a Fry Bread Journey shirt and a couple of koozies, and we hope that you will come back again and get us updated when you can talk about some projects.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Give us another update on things that are going on.
Absolutely, so, I'd love to. Thank you.
And then our next episode is going to be Monday, May 15th, 9:10 here, and our guest is going to be District 14 Tribal Counselor Kevin Easley, and we've never had him on as a guest either, so this will be exciting. And then we will have a June 29th episode too. I don't have any guests planned. It's just you and me, James.
All right, we'll be ready for it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies. Another great edition of Fry Bread Journeys. We appreciate you being a guest here today.
Thank you.
All right. And that is this week's edition of Fry Bread Journeys. Again, back in a couple weeks here on the Mighty 690.